What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 12th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Getty's.
Let Tim host. How you doing, Greg?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did.
You got your big coffee over there? You're all set to go.
Got my big old Transa, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
It was a perfect Starbucks morning.
Now, have you got... Well, how's that?
Because I do the order ahead now.
Of course you do.
So you order ahead.
Yeah.
And then you go and you pull in and you hope that there's like minutes left on the meter.
Sure.
And hope that it's green.
Sure.
Because if it's red, those motherfuckers are out there. They're going to get you. Mm-hmm. Got pulled in the last second. I saw someone was pulling out. It was green. I had like 2 minutes left. All I needed, walk in, grab the coffee, walk out.
Now, have you adjusted to your no straw life?
I mean, no, I never will.
Okay.
Never will.
Never will. Because the sippy top's pretty good.
No.
No? No good?
Mm-mm. It sucks.
It's all right.
It spills too much? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather this over
the paper straw. No paper straw.
We just need to not do it.
Yeah.
Give up on straws if we're going to give up on straws.
Sure. Well, Kevin's got that retractable retractable straw he uses. You seen this?
I have.
Has he shown it to you?
Mm-hmm.
You should get one of those.
No.
You like tech?
Not like that.
Don't you?
Not like this.
Don't you? It comes out like earpods. Mm-mm. It's great, huh? Mm-mm. All right, whatever. Today we're going to talk about porn on Ninja's Twitch channel, Xbox and exclusives and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go over there, ask us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. I'm wearing the Kind of Funny hoodie.
You might think
I'm just wearing the old Kind of Funny hoodie.
Mm-mm.
We finally found new blue for the Kind of Funny hoodie. It is coming back. It is not on the store yet, kindoffunny.com/store. There are other things on the store right now at ridiculous discounts.
Man,
but eventually this will
like
pop up
habit.
There. This will pop up there one day. So be ready for it. Right?
Kindoffunny.com/store.
We want to clothe your better half with your bottom half. Put your asses up. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Quip and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's Dozen.
And let me give you a little tease, everybody watching and listening. Number two runs right into number three. So get ready for a journey.
Get ready for a journey.
But first, we're going to start here. Number one, Twitch shows porn on Ninja's dormant channel. This is Luke Plunkett over at Kotaku.
I'm going to need some more info on this.
I got it for you.
I've been seeing this making the rounds. A lot of jokes here and
hashtag, there. Hashtag, what is it, Twitch over party? Like that's what they're calling it. Really bad hashtag, but Anyways, Tyler Ninja Blevins, who recently left his 14 million follower Twitch account behind to go and stream on rival platform Mixer, has issued a statement labeled "disgusted and so sorry" today after the now dormant account, which he no longer operates, was promoting streams from other users, including one broadcasting pornography. Ninja obviously had no control over that Twitch landing page now since he's left the service for good, and is dismayed in the video below that the page is showcasing other streamers' content. Of course, Kotaku then embeds the Twitch or the Twitter video he put up talking about it. While stating that a split from Twitch had to this pinpoint handled professionally, he says the promotion of a porn stream to a still sizable audience, not everyone will have to go, have gotten the news that he's moved platforms, is crossing the line, leading Ninja to begin attempts to get his entire page taken down, quote, or at least not promote other streamers and other channels. Now, did that recap it well enough for you?
Because
I feel like some of these sentences didn't make sense, and I'm not blaming myself. So what happened? Twitch is trying this new thing, they say, right? Where if a stream is offline, they'll do this thing isn't here, or this streamer's not live. Here's some other options for you, other things to look at.
Related.
They only did this for Ninja. This is something that just popped up on his channel, and the first thumbnail, on at least one part of it, was just straight up this dude railing some lady.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just straight up. It is porn.
Yeah. It was something like, you know, that's some channel is broadcasting porn, and that's what got auto filled in there. How? Nobody knows what's happening. Quote, This is now from the CEO of Twitch. Quote, I apologize, want to apologize directly to @Ninja. That's the quote. I apologize, want to apologize directly to @Ninja that this happened. Emmett Shear, Twitch's CEO, said on Twitter last night. It wasn't our intent, but it should not have happened. No excuses. Shear said the company has been experimenting with how recommended content was displayed across Twitch when the pornographic stream appeared on Blevins' page. Shear added that the account behind the stream has been permanently banned and that channel recommendations have been suspended, quote, while we investigate how this content came to be promoted.
Hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bad luck.
How are they not figuring this out? Figure out how to promote content.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like for this to be like the first out the gate and on the biggest channel ever, for them to make a fuck up this big, not gonna look good.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna forget about it tomorrow. But.
Sure, but it's just like, what a bonehead move. And yeah. I understand what they're trying to do. Okay, cool. Our biggest Twitch page is now gone. So like, what are we gonna do with that space? And they had a tongue in cheek reference to it there, where it was like the ninja you're looking for is in another castle. Like they tried to do that in their first one, and everyone's like, you're showing porn. What the fuck? And then they went and changed it, and then finally just took it down.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where it is a great idea in concept, but it's really easy for people to look at that and be like, I don't want this. This is not what I'm signing up for. And we've seen it, like, even with something as little as Twitter feeds, where people get mad about seeing liked tweets compared to just people that they follow. That's kind of what this is, right? There's also the added level of kind of a weird use of someone's platform. We saw this back with SourceFed when they went down, and then now this nerd, whatever, bought the channel and like tried just being like, oh, we're going to do this now. And everyone's like, no, you're not. Like, we like the SourceFed people. We don't want you just using our... the millions of subscribers that we've subscribed to watch a certain type of content. Like, we're not going to watch your bullshit versions.
Yeah.
And whether or not they were good, in my case, I'd say they weren't. But, like, even if it was great content, I don't think you can just do that. Like, there needs to be some level of history. And I think a good example is Inside Gaming taking over the Machinima channel. It's like there was history there. That makes sense. And people weren't upset about that because, you know, there was lineage. But with this, it's like they're using Ninja's page just to promote other people, which in theory is a good thing for the Twitch community, because it's just trying to be like, hey, you
came here for this, and he's not here, but hey, there's other things.
If you are wrapped up in the Twitch ecosystem, you actually care about the bits and how long you've subscribed to people and all that stuff, and you don't want to make the track to Mixer, or you want to do both, then it's like, all right, cool, here's some people that you might want to follow. But I feel like it should have been curated
a little bit more?
I would say a lot more. Like, I definitely think that...
Especially because it's apparently, like, the first time they're trying this out of the gate on their biggest channel. Like, I just let the computer decide what gets pulled.
Yeah, no, I feel like that should have been, like, if you like Ninja, you'll probably like, here's 10 channels, you know?
Yeah.
Not porn, but I mean... Hey.
But even that said, like, you know, and Ninja brings this up in his video. It's a good watch, actually. He's very upset about it, too. Understandably so, right? And he talks about how, hey, like, you know, this has been... as the Kotaku article calls out, professional, right? He's like, you know, he said something to the fact of, like, you know, they've made little comments here and there, but it's cool, we've been fine. Like, this is a huge fuck up, let alone the fact that they're using my channel to promote other people. And he's like, you know, the channel I curated for 10 years or whatever he says, and all the, you know, got to 14 million followers. It's like, that's a good point too, that if you came to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, right, and we weren't streaming, granted we host a lot of people throughout the day when we're not live.
We choose that though.
Exactly. If you came here, I would, and like you came here specifically for us and we weren't live, I'd rather you spend time reading, figuring it out, subscribing, following, what do we do, what's our schedule, then, oh, they're not live. Oh, these people are, click and gone. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
More things for them to figure out as Twitch continues to try to figure this out. Nanobiologist wrote into You're Wrong. It says the hashtag is Twitch is over party. Still a terrible hashtag.
Yeah.
Twitch is over party?
And they're not over.
Twitch is over party? Like, it's just bad. Twitch is over would have been a better one. That's not a good one.
Yeah.
Tim, you need to help these people out when movements start happening, right?
Yeah. I don't got anything. Twitch fucked up.
Twitch shows porn. Ninja porn. Twitch. Twitch porn. Number two.
Dude rails. How'd you say it?
dude rail on this lady. Number two. The Outer Worlds is a quote-unquote exclusive Xbox franchise. This is Richard Wakeling over at GameSpot. The Outer Worlds is shaping up quite nicely ahead of its release on October 25th for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC, with the Switch version arriving at a later date. If you want to play its potential sequel, however, you might need an Xbox. That's the word from the head of Xbox Studios, Matt Booty, who revealed during an interview with Game Informer that Microsoft believes The Outer Worlds can be an enduring franchise for the company. Microsoft acquired Obsidian, the studio developing The Outer Worlds, back in 2018, adding it to the list of 15 developers that comprise the Xbox Game Studios roster, alongside the likes of Ninja Theory, Double Fine, and Playground Games. The Outer Worlds is currently being published by Private Division, the indie-centric publishing arm of Take-Two. But beyond that, Microsoft will likely be handling publishing duties for any potential sequels, which could also mean the franchise becomes a Microsoft exclusive. Not shocking if that was to happen. Mm-hmm. However, number three on the Roper Report, we go to IGN, where Alicia Judge says, games from new Xbox first-party developers might launch on PlayStation and Switch too. One of the Xbox bosses has said its potential for first-party studios to release games on non-Microsoft platforms. Traditionally, when a platform acquires a studio, it buys the rights to publish every future game on its own console, but Xbox seems to be toying with leniency. In an interview with Game Informer, Xbox's first-party studios boss, Matt Booty, said that Xbox-owned developers like Double Fine and Obsidian might be able to create games for rival platforms in the future. He revealed Xbox would consider allowing studios to continue creating multi-platform games after being acquired, saying, quote, "I think the question is less binary about should it be on Switch, should it be on PlayStation, and more, does it make sense for the franchise? In other words, is it a kind of game where it would benefit from the network effect of being on a bunch of different platforms, or is it a game where we can best support it by putting resources and making sure our platforms, things like xCloud and Game Pass and Xbox Live, are really leaning to support the game?" It's not an unprecedented approach. Microsoft holds the rights to games like Minecraft and Cuphead, which have both been published on platforms other than Xbox. Elsewhere, both The Outer Worlds and Psychonauts 2 will be multi-platform releases, despite developers Obsidian and Double Fine respectively being owned by Microsoft. However, in this case, these developers were acquired by Microsoft after development on these games began, and so it remains to be seen if these studios will remain multi-platform for future projects. Quote, "With something like Minecraft, I think it was a no-brainer that we were never going to try and take anything from players that existed on those platforms. And certainly, we've added platforms since the acquisition," said Booty. "But then, obviously, we're going to have our big franchises like Halo, and Sea of Thieves, where those games are designed from the outset to really exist on Xbox. I think that will continue." Outer Worlds 2, mm-hmm. Where's it going to be? Is it going to be on everything? Is it just going to be on Xbox?
We really need to see what next gen looks like for me to confidently say, but I think we're seeing it everywhere. I also think we're going to see Sea of Thieves everywhere.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that we're moments away from understanding what Xbox's battle plan actually is. And when you hear all these interviews, and there's a lot that you can kind of piece together, it's painting a picture where it's like they want a platform, they don't want a hardware, like, to be their focus at least, right? And like, they'll have their Halos and stuff. You need more than just Halo, and we've seen this now multi-generations of Xbox, where you need more than just Halo and Gears and Forza to be able to rival what PlayStation's doing. This seems like they're like, all right, we're not going to be able to do that, so let's just get everywhere, and like, let's own the conversation everywhere, which is great, and I think going to be very advantageous to them if they make the right moves quick enough, if xCloud works well enough, and if they like make Games Pass even more mainstream and like clear and concise to people, and really nail home though, you can play it anywhere. You don't need the Xbox to be able to do it if that's what they end up doing, right?
Yeah.
But then you look at things like Cuphead, right? A lot of people I know that are playing Cuphead on the Switch don't even know it's a Microsoft game. Don't know it's related to that at all. And I feel like Xbox is going to lose its identity over time if it keeps doing this, right? But how much do they need to care about that if they're selling more than they have before?
They're making money. Who cares?
Yeah. To me, this is kind of a thing of them looking at like, hey, we're about to fight a different fight than PlayStation is. And we always talk about exclusives and how much they matter. And I feel like we don't necessarily agree fully. I think they matter so much, and especially in the Xbox PlayStation fight. And I think that the reason that Xbox is kind of coming up with a different business strategy is because they don't have the exclusives, and they know that they're not going to have the exclusives. And years ago, when they had their all their announcements of their first party studios, it was like, all right, these are great studios, but they're not, at least so far, we haven't seen them make Halos, you know what I mean, or Uncharted's. We've seen them make smaller things or bigger titles that don't necessarily appeal to everyone. Like,
not the giant AAA.
None of these are the AAA, put it on the box of the console type things. And when they do, it's things like Sea of Thieves with Rare. And it's like, that's, people like it. You know, a lot of people play it. And especially because of Games Pass, a lot of people play it. But that's, nobody can compare Last of Us and Sea of Thieves. Right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Xbox knows that. And they're like, cool, we need to adjust accordingly. And PlayStation is going to double down the other way because it worked for them so much. I truly believe that PlayStation's PS4 is winning as much as it is because it had the first party titles that enticed people to come over, which meant they're like, we're just going to play the third party titles here too. You look at 360, it's like the reason 360 won is because of online, and that was because of third party titles. But they had the better online, they had the better just system out the door to be able to have the foundation for online shooters.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So they won because of that. PlayStation won because it built up over time with the first parties enticing people over. Now this, it's a weird thing where next gen, is there a winner? Or is just PlayStation winning, doing what it's been doing, and Xbox now wins because it started a new, not even vertical, just kind of like horizontal across
putting all the games everywhere,
right?
Yeah. My prediction on this specific thing is that Outer Worlds 2 will be everywhere. I think it's very much in line of what you're saying, where I think Xbox knows the optics on, hey, we're doing something here different, right? And we are doing a gamer's first decision, and we are doing this stuff. Especially, I think, if it's your any of that your save from Outer Worlds or the original here is going to carry over. If so, then I think they're going to be like, hey, we understand that you all fell in love with it everywhere. We want to put it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's just such a, not backwards, but it's such a Xbox of old, console war of old decision to be like, we bought these guys and now they can't put it anywhere, even mm-hmm. though they've done it everywhere else already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they wouldn't go and lock this one away.
What's most interesting to me is the, but then obviously we're going to have our big franchises like Forza, Halo, and Sea of Thieves, where those games are designed from the outset to really exist on Xbox, and I think that'll continue. That think is key. You know? Like, how long until, like, at what point does it make sense to have any games that are like, truly exclusive when you built the ecosystem out that has Game Pass everywhere and you're putting your games on PlayStation 4? Why not put Halo on PlayStation 4? Because at some point, that is, at some point, or PlayStation 5, that's a disservice to the community.
Yeah.
Right? There is no real advantage to having it built from the ground up just for the Xbox if it's only going to be for, you'd have to imagine, a smaller group of people if they're going to put their stuff everywhere. Why would anybody specifically want to buy the Xbox, right?
Yeah. I mean, really, it comes down to Game Pass, right? And what they're going to do with Scarlet and all that jazz and what that looks like next time around. Where if that is something that, with their streaming technology, you can run Game Pass anywhere, like, is that the solution? And would PlayStation ever allow that? That you can get the Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation? I doubt it. I still think Switch is the most likely candidate and that they will do it, I do think. Yeah. I think they'll break down because it's going to be that whole thing with their streaming technology of Play Anywhere. That's the most exciting thing, is the ability to have it. And I think, again, with everything we've seen with Xbox Live coming to Switch, right, with Cuphead coming to Switch, them dipping their toes in there and really figuring out what's going on, I think that's going to continue. You know, they talk about the achievements and stuff coming over eventually.
Yeah. I wonder when, though, because I feel like
that was, what, a GDC announcement where they talked about Xbox Live?
Yeah, it was GDC, and then, you know, like, well, I guess Cuphead was GDC as well. It was before GDC that they were like rumor, like talking about it, like little light interviews and stuff. But I guess next E3 or whenever they announce the like really blow out the next Xbox, is that where they talk Nintendo as well? Or do you wait a little bit?
Like, you wait on it, I think. Yeah. Unless it is that your streaming service is going day and date starting there as well.
That's the weird shit, man. Because I just don't know. I feel like you can't split the message between we have this new console, but also we have this new service. It needs to be like, this is what Xbox is.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
Because it's weak if you come out and be like, hey, we have this box you can get, and yeah, it'll have Halo and this, but a lot of the other stuff you can get everywhere. And it, you know, it's better on Xbox, but is it really? You know, like, at what point are they trying to make there?
I think, yeah, it would be, right, that if you're natively running it on the Xbox, you know, something equivalent to the 1X Plus, right, the 1X2, then you're going to have a better experience than just streaming it to your phone.
I'm not talking about streaming. I'm talking about, like, if Outer Worlds 2 comes out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Sure.
Are they going to make it better on Xbox?
No.
And yeah. You see what I'm saying? That 100%. That creates a weird world where they're going to have to make decisions where they got to be really careful of their wording of things, because why would people want to buy the inferior version of their own thing somewhere else?
Yeah.
And it would seem shitty if it felt like they were kind of kneecapping the physical versions of their, well, you know what I mean? Like unique SKU versions of their games, not the streamed versions. And at that point, to me, I'm like, all right, then you need to make the choice of, are you a hardware or are you a platform? And how are you going to drive that home to people?
Okay.
Could there be a world where the hardware is now also a service? You buy the hardware and pay a monthly fee, and then you have access to all, like, the exclusive or, you know, first party games just...
I mean, that exists now. Games Pass?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just Games Pass. But, like, could they be doubling down on that?
I mean, that's what we're talking about. I think that that's what's going to happen. What I'm saying, though, is that I feel like when we're moving forward, and if Xbox's limited already exclusives are not going to be exclusive, even, like, physically coming to PlayStation 4, you're going to have to make a real argument for why people need to buy the box. Unless your argument is, like, you can. We're making a beast of a machine, and it's going to be a great way to play these games.
I still think that's what it's going to be. Yeah. I think that's going to be the messaging of, like, with Scarlet, the, you know, streaming app, or Project X Cloud, right? You can play this shit anywhere. You can play your Game Pass games anywhere. You can stream to your phone, stream whatever. But the best experience is going to be on this high quality Xbox Scarlet system that's here. That's streaming it in 8K or whatever. Is playing it in 8K. Mm-hmm. It has all the crazy ass sound or what is it? Ray tracing and all that shit. Yeah. I don't know. All that fucking crap.
If that's the case, though, wouldn't you want to talk about all the partnerships together in that same conversation? Like, wouldn't you want that E3 to be like, here's the box. Here's all the different ways you can play it. Yeah. Switch is one of them, you know?
It's what you're arguing of what is the messaging. What are they trying to push the box? Are they trying to push the platform? Mm-hmm. If they're trying to push the platform, then yes, you want it all. If they're trying to push the box, no, because you can do a year without Switch. You can do 2 years without Switch, where it's just like, hey, this is this awesome system. We're going to prove it to all of you when you get your hands on Project X Cloud. And they jump in, they go through, and they're like, holy shit, this works. It's great. I want it on more systems. I want it on more devices. And then it is the next year Megaton at E3 or whatever that, like, hey, guess what? It is coming to Switch.
Yeah. I guess I'm just looking at it as a subscription service. If you want those numbers, you want the most amount of machines to be able to subscribe, to get the plan, to prove that it works. Because then I feel like it's the other way, where it's like the more people playing, if they're playing on the Switch, like, fuck, I really would want a beefed up system to play this, then they buy the box, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like you're going to have Gen 1 adopters no matter what. Out the door, people are going to pick it up and go and grab it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you figure the Switch service thing will give you the big boost of, hey, this is how many people we're adding to the pool of people streaming the games. And then hopefully, that leads to a bump of, now you have a reason to buy the new Xbox.
Yeah. Real exciting stuff.
Exciting times. We have to see how it'll all pan out in the future. Number four. DayZ's been refused classification in Australia. This is Luke Riley at IGN. Bohemia Interactive has addressed the classification issue, assuring fans it is currently looking at ways to solve the problem. Quote, we are aware of the classification board's intention to pull DayZ from the online sales. What is it? Explained Bohemia in a statement provided to IGN. The game was just removed from the PlayStation and Xbox stores. The reason behind the rejection to classify the game is the specifics of drug use in the game. For example, we have morphine in the game. Usage of it is allowed, but it has to be portrayed in a very specific way to fit under Australian regulations, end quote. This is another quote. The Australian player base is a big and very important part of our community. At the moment, we are looking for the best solution to keep the game on the Australian market and pass the classification according to all regulations. We will do everything in our power to keep the game playable and available for Australian gamers, end quote. Bohemia specifically mentioning morphine mirrors the classification problem Bethesda had with morphine in 2008 and State of Decay in 2013. Morphine is an opiate. May be addictive, but it's available via prescription in Australia. Come on, Australia, just stop this.
Yeah,
I'm sick of hearing all this stuff. You know what I mean? I remember back in the day with Left 4 Dead or whatever, when you got shot or whatever, and they had to, like, turn into flowers or rainbows or some crap like that because it couldn't show blood. Get over it.
But then Freddie Wong made the video because of that, the flower guns.
How do I forget?
Great video.
What's going on with Freddie Wong? I don't see him make stuff anymore.
He's more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes. Puppet master.
That's what he's doing, moving his fingers like that. Oh, now he's flying. Oh, Ravenclaw. Okay, okay. Wow. Didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming at all.
Speaking of opiates, last night's Patriot Act was amazing. You should watch that one as well. It was about opiates.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there was fentanyl specifically. But
did he talk about Australia at all?
DayZ? No. He mentioned Fortnite again though.
Oh, okay. Because it's like an addiction.
Kind of.
Fair enough. I'll let it go. Number five, Epic to address the brute spawn rates in Fortnite. This is Epic on Reddit. We've lowered the spawn rates of the brute per Storm Circle in arena and tournament playlists. We will continue to monitor the impact of the change in advance of next week's championship series event. The beginning of the match now, it is 21.5% chance that between 1 and 3 brutes will spawn. Previously, it was a 100% chance. Storm 1, 44% chance between 1 and 4 brutes will spawn. Previously, it was 100%.
Jesus.
Storm 2, 40% chance between 1 to 2 brutes will spawn. Previously, it was 100%. Storm 3, 40% chance between 1 and 2 brutes will spawn. Previously, it was a 66% chance that 2 would spawn. Storm 4, 10% chance that 1 brute will spawn. Previously, it was 50% chance that 1 would. And Storm 5, 3% chance that 1 brute will spawn. Previously, it was 10% that 1 would spawn. Have you seen this or followed this? I know you don't keep your ear to the Fortnite thing.
No, but they're the super-powered robots.
Right. They added these basically these giant mechs called brutes, and everybody flipped the fuck out because they kind of ruined the game. Because like everybody was tweeting and hashtagging it of like, remove the brutes or whatever.
Remove the brutes.
Because it was just such a pain in the ass.
Brutes over party.
There was one on the Fortnite subreddit that was great, like, and it was just explaining, if you weren't paying attention, that it just basically turned the final circle into a giant game of hide and seek. Mm-hmm. And it was this one kid just hiding underneath like one of the angled pieces as this brute like stomped all around trying to find it and kill it. So
I love it.
Everybody's getting what they want, it looks like. Or at least Epic's paying attention, as they have to, with this game that constantly needs to be updated at every step of the way. But good for them. Listening as always, trying to toy around with it. Trying to, first off, put stuff in they think will be cool. Mm-hmm. Ah, shit, everybody hates it. All right, fine, we'll change it.
Tweak it,
as you always say. Number 6, Grid 2 has been delisted on digital storefronts. This is James O'Connor at GameSpot. Grid 2, the 2013 sequel to Race Driver Grid, is no longer available on digital storefronts across PC, PS3, or Xbox 360. The game has been removed from sale, and while the reasons for this aren't clear, odds are that rights to cars, tracks, or music may have expired. Race Driver Grid was similarly delisted in January 2017. If you visit the game's Steam page, you're greeted with the following message. Quote, at the request of the publisher, Grid 2 is no longer available for sale on Steam. The game is no longer available to purchase digitally on either Xbox 360 or PS3, although no reason is listed on either store. If you've purchased Grid 2 at an earlier point, it remains available to download onto your account to play. Tim?
Yes.
The ongoing problems of having a digital future.
Were you on the show when the DuckTales delisting happened?
I was.
What was the long and short of that? Similar things where there's no real reason, it just happened.
Yeah, Capcom put up a very a Capcom Unity blog post that was like, "You better duck Blur over here because we're taking it the fuck down." And I was like, "Wait, why are you using so many DuckTales puns in a very weird story?" But they did it. They just kept saying we're taking it down. My argument there was that was as to when Ultimate Alliance and all that got pulled. That was, you know, Marvel Games coming into power. I think this is, and I'm not even being facetious, I think this is John Drake and Disney Games getting their shit in line, where it's like, cool, this agreement and licensing thing is up, and we're not going to renew because we want to bring everything in-house, and we want to own everything, and we don't want games out there that aren't directly involved with us. So that's DuckTales. Grid, I think, yeah, that James O'Connor is on the right page here, that, yeah, it's probably songs, it's probably car licenses, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's upsetting, man. You know, like, the preservation of video games is an important thing, and when you look at a lot of these titles that you wouldn't necessarily think would get the axe kind of randomly out of nowhere. I mean, it was weird enough that DuckTales even was made to begin with.
Yeah.
But it was. And, you know, like with Grid 2, it's like, I'm sure there's an audience for that is going to be upset that they can't play it or can't get it if they wanted to.
Sure.
So it reminds me of Scott Pilgrim, the arcade game.
Yeah, the Ubisoft game. Yeah, beat him up.
Like, game was awesome. You can't get it anymore. Turtles in Time Reshelled or whatever the fuck it was called. Like, that's gone too.
Yeah.
And those are great games that
just gone to time. Into the wind.
Legally, at least.
Oh, I see what you're doing. But at least if you bought it already, it's still there.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. There's some salvation there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I still have Scott Pilgrim on my PS3.
Sure. Hell yeah, you do.
PS3. Yeah. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you worry about it, though? I think we talk about it a lot, and I always come off very callous because I don't. Digital preservation. All right, this game from 2013 is being pulled down. Grid 2. Were you ever going to go back and play Grid 2? Were you about to go buy Grid 2?
Not Grid 2, but I mean, DuckTales Remastered is one that, you know, DuckTales was a great game on NES, and I never beat the remastered one.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I'd be one day, maybe. But it's not
you
so much.
Had a fucking day, but
right. Well, the DuckTales is a game that I might actually go back to.
Well,
the truth is, like, I wouldn't on PS3 or whatever. It's like if it was a easily readily available to me somehow, probably.
Yeah.
Like, especially if it was on Switch. on an airplane.
Sure.
Get all up in that. But going back to get it, no, probably not. And if I wanted to, there's ways to get it.
Are there?
Yes.
The dark web?
The dark web.
Don't use the dark
web. It's not even the dark web. It's kind of just the web. It's Google. It's literally just Google.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like, don't Let's Plays get it done nowadays? We talk about, like, digital preservation and shit. I just feel like history books, you can, I mean, I guess it's not the same as film, right? Where most of the time you can find film in anywhere you want to go do it.
I mean, except I think it really, it depends on who you are and what you're looking for out of it. The Jared Pettys of the world want to be able to play any game and will play any game, any chance that they get.
Sure.
I'm not necessarily like that, but I also know that any game that I've ever wanted to go back and play, I've been able to somehow. Like, back in the day, the biggest problem I had was trying to play Knights into Dreams.
Yeah.
Because Saturns were really hard to come by. I was a poor kid, and the emulators didn't work for the Saturn.
Yeah.
It fucked everything up, and then they fixed it. And then they released Knights 2 on Wii, and I bought that, and it was horrible.
You got burned.
I did.
Tim.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what game burns you next. Mm. But I don't know where to find out where the dates for those games would be. If I wanted to think about video game dates, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Hidden Mysteries, Royal Family Secrets on PC, The Machine That Breathes on PC, Pirates of Everseas on PC, and Rogueverse on PC. New dates for you. Knights and Bikes finally has a release date. It's coming to Steam and PlayStation 4 August 27th. If you do not know Knights and Bikes, you should go watch the party mode me and Andy did with Rex, where we call Rahul Kohli to understand in it. Anyways, that's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and it's a good party mode. The game nobody can pronounce and everybody yells about, Gris, is coming to iOS August 22nd. And then 13, XIII. Remember this game?
Yeah.
It's getting a remake, which I somehow missed.
This is the type of game that's going to get delisted in like 6 years.
Sure. It's been delayed, though. It's now coming 2020 to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And what? That was the David Duchovny one, right? Isn't that the one? Where he was like a killer, you wake up, you don't understand what's happening, you go shoot stuff?
I never played it. I always got it really confused with the Red Dead series.
Huh.
Because there was the original Red Dead Revolver.
Yeah.
Had very similar cover art, if I remember correctly.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Gun?
You know what? I might be thinking Gun.
Yeah, Gun was a Western that I played, and Porty Pete on me while I played it.
But I am just talking about the box art.
Okay.
Totally different.
Yeah. Definitely
different.
No, I don't think that's the same thing. Yeah.
I miss the cel-shaded Boom, though.
You kidding me? It was awesome.
I know that we're still like, now we're just perfecting it, but man, there was that moment during the PS2 generation that was just like, you want a game to look fucking shit hot?
Yeah, here you go.
Add some cells. Yeah, shade them.
Superman the Animated Series one on PS2.
There
Superman
you go.
Shadow of Apocalypse. Fight for Apocalypse. Shadow
Spider-Man.
For Apocalypse. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a good one too.
It was hot.
Deals of the day for you. Guess what? THQ Nordic is not done pumping out weird ass special editions for you.
Jam.
They got two for Destroy All Humans. Let's start with Destroy All Humans Crypto 137 edition. This unique example of human craftsmanship is brought to you by your benevolent Furon overlords. The Crypto 137 edition will be available at select retailers for a suggested retail price of $399.99.
THQ Nordic, dude, they got it. They know what's up.
Contains the following items: the Destroy All Human games, Crypto 137 figurine, it's 23 inches high, Crypto backpack, keychain, 6 lithographs, eye-popping anti-stress toy, premium box includes all the in-game Crypto skins. Or you could get the Destroy All Humans DNA Collector's Edition. Holy cow, the DNA Collector's Edition will be available at select retailers for the suggested retail price of $149.99. Destroy All Humans game, Crypto and cow figurine, keychain, 6 lithographs, eye-popping anti-stress toy, premium box, and all the in-game Crypto skins.
And a Destroy All Humans board game that may or may not
No. And that one we did for Darksiders confirm eventually that is only available. It's only available in the really, 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 really expensive version of Darksiders Genesis.
Man, THQ.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Is it going to work out?
I don't know. Do they have time splitters? Someone has time splitters, and I think it's them. Get the fuck on that. That's what I want now.
How much would you pay for a time splitter special edition?
$60.
That's it? Okay, you're just going up to retail price.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, depending on what it was.
What if they gave you a backpack?
Yeah, see, I want the games. Yeah. If you gave me, like, you get the trilogy, I'd be like, all right.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Maybe $70.
Wow, up to 70 now.
Yeah, THQ Nordic now owns Time Splitters.
Well, where's my Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, all right? Get over there. Just shake it from EA.
Here's the fucking thing.
Lay it on
Greg. THQ Nordic, team up with Nintendo, and just bring Time Splitters back as a Switch game. A Switch party game. You'll understand what it is. It's an old school first person shooter multiplayer game.
Okay.
Stupid characters, fun characters.
Stupid characters, fun characters.
Like, it was just, it's, remember Odd Job? Who could forget? That's all Time Splitters was. You want to be a fucking monkey? You get to be a monkey. You want to be a guy, giant glove hand that's giant? You can do that too.
Yeah.
His name was Mr. Handy.
As it should be.
He's quite handy.
Was that his catchphrase, or you just make it up?
That was his catchphrase.
Okay. Time Splitters never caught on for us.
I feel like it would have.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the team that made GoldenEye.
Yeah, that just was the thing expanded. I remember when it came over, somebody brought it over to my house for a sleepover, and we're like, we all just went back to playing Perfect Dark. And
Time Splitters is very similar to the Fast and Furious, where it just like it hits a point where it's like, okay, we know what we are. Let's just fucking dive in.
Okay.
Like Time Splitters 2's campaign. Oh, I would give anything to replay that right now.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Cool Greg, get the PS2.
Wow.
It's here.
That's right. I think it's connected.
Dramatic effect, guys.
Sorry, my apologies. It's not here. Cool, Greg, bring it in. Tim, it's time for reader mail. But first, I'll tell you about our sponsors. First up, it's Quip. The easiest way to ease back into a routine? Start it before September, especially if you're headed back to school. Simplify the mornings and evenings now with a simpler electric toothbrush from Quip. Timed sonic vibrations cover the basics of every part of your mouth and just take 2 minutes twice a day. The mirror mount puts brushing front and center in your bathroom, so you'll remember to bookend your day using the new brush. And the lightweight, compact design means you can bring it along with you on those last summer weekend getaways. So enjoy sleeping in, then ease back into the swing of things with a smile. Quip has a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Up to 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months, and for just $5, a friendly reminder of when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. 75% of us use old, worn-out bristles that are ineffective. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Kind of Funny loves Quip. I use it. Tim uses it.
True.
Even Joey Noel uses it. Yeah, I use it today, too. This ain't a race.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we use it. It's this sitting there on the mirror mount. I know I got to use it.
Here's the thing, Greg. I had a slight issue today with mine.
Okay.
Because I had to replace it. The 3 months were up.
Yeah, yeah. I got my thing yesterday.
Replace the thing.
Last week.
And I got a white one. And I had to put it on my sexy black. But I will say, now it has this sexy dual tone thing
that's
going
cool.
on.
That's cool.
And it's nice.
That's why we love Quip and why it's perfect for getting back into a routine. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Up next, it's Experian.
Experia.
No, it's Experian.
Experian.
My bad.
I was like, what? You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get the stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your score? Now it won't be thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. Why? A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score with the help, or I'm sorry, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America already raise their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and cell phone. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two. With Experian Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. Up until now, you've been paying your utility and cell phone bills and not getting any credit for. Now you can. Everybody should do this. As we get older and older, we start needing credit mm-hmm. for houses and things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an easy way to make sure you're bumped up to the great thing. And everybody goes, this guy deserves a house. And you go, thank you. I can't believe it's taken this long for someone to do this. What are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help you establish or increase your access to credit, boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That's Experian. There is an N. .com/KFGames.
Boom.
Experia. Trying to get me as I start the ad.
You got.
Yeah, you got got.
I got
all right?
Got.
You got got. Let's keep rolling with, oh, geez, my Louise. This is a long-ass question. We're going to keep rolling with Parker Petroff on his Xbox conversation we've been having, all right?
Yes.
It's about PlayStation, though. Good day, KFGD crew. I saw on Windows Central today an article that stated, for one developer, game sales quadrupled because it was in Game Pass. In the past, Microsoft has stated as well that games in Game Pass generally lead to higher sales. This leads me to wonder why Sony hasn't seemed to make any changes to PlayStation Now as a reaction, as the service seems stagnated in comparison to Game Pass. As of now, PS Now still can't download PS3 games. PS Now still lacks recent hits such as God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, etc. Game Pass has an image where you can play the latest games on it. While all the latest games aren't available, they still maintain a good variety of newer games that are still being talked about, streamed, etc. Where PS Now feels like an afterthought to Sony in a time, whereas PS Now feels like an afterthought to Sony. In a time when Disney is adding Disney Plus, NBC is prepping their own subscription service, Netflix is pumping out original content for their subscription service, much of Microsoft's success as a global company under Satya Nadella has been because of its shift to a service-based company for its office. In an age when subscription services bombard consumers with a constant stream of new content that compete for a person's hours of engagement on a daily basis, how long do you think Sony can afford to neglect the market trends at large and maintain the status quo?
I think that they have a while.
Yeah?
They'll be okay. Yeah, but a while meaning 2 years. Like, I think when next gen's are real and out there, like, that's when we're gonna have to see some real change. I don't think we're necessarily, again, we've talked about this a lot. I think PS Now is gonna get rebranded totally, or like maybe
at PlayStation 5,
yeah, turn into something new, some new service that makes sense to people. Remember we brainstormed a bunch of names. I don't remember any of the good ones.
There weren't any good ones.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
Okay, whatever you say, Walt.
But yeah, I feel that the Xbox, like, they've been building this and they're going to have it right out the gate. I think that PlayStation are being quiet for a reason. They also partnered with Microsoft recently with xCloud and all that stuff. And like, that stuff doesn't happen overnight. So I feel like that's going to take a little longer for them to.
It's the normal thing we talk about on this show where we've said it multiple times, I think. We talk the most about Game Pass because Game Pass is making all the news, making all these announcements, doing all these things. However, when that, what was it? The digital, when revenue splits came out, it was the fact that PlayStation Now is crushing in terms of revenue earned.
So it's interesting. So I'm looking here. Sony says that PlayStation Now, this is from April 28th this year, PlayStation Now has grown to 700K active users, and that's less than 1% of PS4's current install base.
Yeah.
But they're still making a lot of money there. So it's like, it's a weird thing of like, what's the key performance indicator there, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're making money, which is awesome, but that is not a great install number.
No, you have that many out there, you'd like to have that number.
Yeah, so, but they do have a foot in it already. So how hard or easy is it going to be for them to be like, now here's the next gen of what this looks like and all the great things you get. And also we have the head start of having 700,000 people.
Yeah. I think it'll be, to your point, the person who wrote in, Parker, sorry. I was sick all weekend. I'm still not over. I do feel that they have to make it a priority next time around. They have to have an answer for this as things keep going that way. But what it ends up looking like is what I can't figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to get aggressive like Xbox Game Pass and actually be bringing games in and having them be exclusive to Game Pass or to PS Now or whatever they call it? Are they going to say the thing of, all right, cool, all our PlayStation exclusives day and date are part of this? Do they bundle it with PlayStation Plus? Is it just another bonus to Plus and Plus goes up in price and rebranding, renaming?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
I don't know. I can't imagine them doing that.
Because everything works right now, right?
Everything works.
They're killing it. Everything's going well. The sales are through the roof. Look, why change this?
The sales of their exclusive games are through the roof. Why would you change that?
Yeah.
Now, so Parker here has some interesting things where he starts it off saying, I saw on Windows Central today an article that stated for one developer, game sales quadrupled because it was in Game Pass. And in the past, Microsoft stated that Game Pass generally leads to higher sales. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's been a common held belief or whatever, quote, that if you put your game on Game Pass, it sells better than if it wasn't on Game Pass. But obviously, the argument would be that if you put it on Game Pass, that, oh God, people are getting the game for free, nobody's going to buy this game. Yeah. It's the argument, the more people are out there talking about it. So like when I was talking about Moonlighter, even though I was talking about it on Switch, it is on Game Pass. However, tons of people went and bought it in general. So if there's people playing it off of Game Pass talking about it, people are still going to go buy it on the platform they want. They're not going to think it's a Game Pass thing necessarily.
Interesting. So it's like a demo.
I mean, it's just scale. Getting, it's not even a demo as much as it is any publicity is good publicity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting the game into more people's hands. Like I've done too with Game Pass, where that Thief of Thieves game that they announced at X018 maybe, whatever. But it was an Xbox Game Pass game.
Oh,
remember
the
that was based on the Skybound
right?
thing. Yeah, yeah, I was like, oh shit, I'll try this. And if that had been like, I gotta buy it, I wouldn't have bought it, but I jumped on and I got it on Game Pass and I was like, oh, okay, not for me. I don't really like this thing. But I did it and I jumped and I did the same thing everybody else does, I think, where I went into Game Pass for one thing. Oh, that wasn't for me. It popped out. I'm like, well, what else is in here? No, oh, okay. Grab that, did this, played for a little bit on these different things. Like, I think that's what they're talking about. And then if it is that you're in that mindset, you're jumping in, you're playing other stuff, then yeah, you're opening the window to actually go off and buy stuff from there.
Interesting.
Yeah. From You're Wrong, somebody sent in this VG247 thing. PlayStation Now leads in subscription revenue with $143 million for the quarter. This is from November 2018. Yeah. This is one. There's the chart. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just opening. I'm opening up the little graphic here. Yeah. Major publishers are experimenting with this. PlayStation. Oh, okay. So of $273 million of quarterly revenue, right? PlayStation Now had 52% of that. Xbox Game Pass had 15%. EA Access had 16%. Well, there's a whole bunch of different EA breakdowns there, but mainly for what we're talking about, PlayStation Now still creaming Xbox Game Pass, which is interesting, which is not what I would expect.
Yeah, and that's they're just in the shadows right now, and it's like Xbox are desperate to make the power moves to, you know, own the conversation of next gen. I feel like they've been doing that for the last year and a half at the very least.
Yeah,
they're gonna own it for the next year, you got to imagine, and then PlayStation's gonna come through, and it's not gonna require much of them to win back the conversation pretty easily.
You think so?
I really do.
What do they do?
They just keep their exclusives going on. Like, do not have the same, like, have the flipped situation of the PS4, where PS4 launched with no big exclusives for a long time.
Yeah,
now just keep rolling. Have the PS4 and fucking strong. PS5 launches. Just keep going. You know? Like, okay. That's all they have to do to continue their success.
Okay. Do you think where do you come down then? So is this to continue the success and have exclusive for the PlayStation 5, are we just doing cross-gen exclusives where, hey, Last of Us Part 2 is out next year, probably spring, right? And February was the rumor, right? Spring, and then from there, PlayStation 5 launches in the fall, and there's a high-res texture pack, whatever the fuck they want to call it.
Yeah, I don't see it that way.
Ghost of Tsushima is a PlayStation 5 game?
They're PlayStation 4 games, but then you can play them on 5, and it's the same thing as like the Enhanced for X, whatever. It just has that. But I'm saying that maybe not at launch, because I think that might be a little lofty, but let's say it launches in November, spring 2021. That would be? Yeah. Spring 2021, Horizon 2. Right?
Yeah.
Then you go forward, you get God of War. And then you go forward, you get Spider-Man. It's like, maybe not in that order, but like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like we're going to get all of the end of PS4 lifecycle games are going to be play it best on PS5. That's a good enough conversation starter for people. There's going to be the early adopters that are going to get it anyways. Give it a couple months. You get those third-party titles. You get all that stuff of the fall. And then the following spring, just boom, hit hard.
Okay. I'd like that to be the case, Tim. We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, we know those games are coming.
Do we, Tim?
Yeah.
Do we, Tim?
Horizon 2.
God, I can't wait.
God of War 2.
God, I can't wait.
Spider-Man 2.
God of War 2 is going to be further out.
Wait, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, but Corey Barlog's going to drag his fucking feet forever. You know what I mean? One hit wonder. The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. He says, hey, Greg and Tim. I hope you guys had a good weekend. What is going on in the gaming world? Booga. I always say his name wrong, I think. Bugha. The 16-year-old Fortnite World Cup champion got swatted, and thankfully it de-escalated quickly. I thought swatting was done. We've had over a year since the last major swatting case, but this just feels like pouring salt into an open wound since we are just getting out of the Ooblets case, where they got continuous death threats for their comments and switched to the Epic Games platform. And then someone threatens to burn down Square in Japan to give them back their... Someone threatens to burn down Square in Japan to give them their money back after losing a game. Why are people so quick to do these heinous acts? Do they not realize how severe these threats are, or that these threats slash actions do carry severe consequences? Please, things just need to calm down so we can all enjoy what we enjoy and move on from what gets us mad. Swatting's not over at all. I just don't think you hear about it necessarily in the biggest of high-profile cases.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this one, and did you hear about this or anything?
Mm-mm.
Watch the video of it today. It's totally like It isn't, we've seen bad SWATs, right? We've seen SWATting go wrong before, right? And be a horrible, horrible thing. This one they lucked out on in the fact that one of the responding officers is like lives in the neighborhood and knows him. So like when he got there, he's like, what's going on? And like the dad who came and got him and brought him out, this poor 16-year-old who was playing Fortnite at the time, streaming, comes out and like they settled it in like 10 minutes and came back in. He's like, dude, I just got swatted. They came in with guns. Yeah. And it's like such a weird fucking thing to do, but that still totally happens. It's just, I don't think you hear about it necessarily in the right circles. And I also don't, I mean, as we go into it, you know what I mean? You're talking about Ooblets, death threats, and you're also talking about Square Enix threats of burning stuff down. Outside of the swatting thing, which is a real, I mean, like, lives are on the line, obviously, when police officers respond with guns drawn and think somebody's being held against their will. When you get to the rest of it, that's just the fucking internet. And it's the same dark side of the internet that's always been there.
Yeah.
When I review games in 2008 on the internet and people are fucking like, I'm gonna fucking come kill you, you idiot. All right. Internet sucks.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
Use it for good.
But it's awesome. That's the problem, is it goes both ways. Right, Tim?
Absolutely.
Okay. So just be the change you want to see, nanobiologist. You want to see.
You specifically. This is on you. I'm going to put this on
you. No, it's not on you. You know what I mean? It's on everybody. Everybody needs to be the change they want to see. Be better to each other. Things need to calm down so we can enjoy what we enjoy, he says. Enjoy what you enjoy. Celebrate the things you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to put this. I shouldn't say that because I sound like I'm blaming you or something. But I thought about putting the swatting on the news and it's just like, well, no, why? What good comes from that? I've had a couple of those news stories recently. Jeffrey P. Long writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Tim, I like your hair. He's talking to you specifically, for sure.
Thank you.
It's a good haircut. I do like it, too. I just bought my ticket for PAX West for Friday, and I'm so excited. But I've never been to PAX before, or any type of convention, actually. And I'm wondering what I'm going to be actually doing. Am I going to be playing games, watching other people play games, waiting in lines for most of the day?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could give me an idea of what to expect out of my time there, and just any general tips for a PAX first-timer. Thanks for all the hard work. I love you guys.
General tips are go in with a plan. Don't just show up and just be like, what's going to happen? Like, you look at... I would start by looking at panel schedules.
Sure.
And decide which ones interest you at all. Make notes of all those, the times and the rooms that they're in. Then look at the list of games that might be there, like booths and
presenters,
stuff.
Presenters, yeah.
And see if there's any game that you're like, oh my God,
I have to see that.
Know that any game you're going to try to play, you're probably going to be in line for an hour minimum. And it's not going to be worth playing the 10-minute demo that you get. Unless it is to you. Choose the one game that you're like, mm-hmm. This, especially if you're only there one day. Right?
Yeah, you said Friday.
Yeah.
I'll see it's 4:30. 4:30. Kind of funny game.
I would not play a game if you're only there one day. Yeah. Unless there's something you're like, I got to get my hands on this. And then understand you're going to wait a long time and you're going to miss out on a lot of other things. But I think the panels are a really good thing to get into. And you don't need to go too long.
To get ahead of time.
Like, you have to go wait in a line. But I would say more often than not, PAX is pretty good about getting the right sized room for the
And there's a PAX presenters. Line Twitter you can follow that keeps you updated on how full the line is.
Yeah.
Doesn't help you.
On top of that, just general fun stuff. It's like, yeah, reach out to Kind of Funny Best Friends and see
subreddit.
Who else is going. Yeah, go on subreddit, meet up with each other and hang out, and then you guys can do things together. Tag team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything Tim said there, of course. I think having a plan is it. I think not letting it, let it all roll off your back. Don't, yeah, you get there, something goes wrong, mm-hmm. Who the fuck cares? Go on to the next thing, go have some fun. It would be helpful, yeah, to have somebody to run around with. That's always cool. You can meet Kind of Funny Best Friends out there. Remember, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff, kindoffunny.com/events. Off the top of my head, on Friday, I'm hosting the Guild Wars 2 event, which is an offsite event you can come to. You don't need a PAX pass. And then, 4:30 is the Kind of Funny Games Showcase PAX panel. Mm-hmm. You can come to that as well, see a whole bunch of cool games. Look at the panel schedule, go from there. Don't be afraid to talk to people, especially if you're in line for the same thing. We always talk about that. If you're in line for a game, that person's as interested in that game as you are. So turn to your right, turn to your left. Have your Switch with you. Play some multiplayer, do some Mario Kart. Hang out. Wear deodorant, of course. Bring hand sanitizer. Hydrate, as always. Mm-hmm. Have a food plan. The other cool thing about it, one of the reasons I love PAX West, of course, is that when the convention ends, it doesn't end. You can meet out into Seattle. There's always events going on and things to do. We're still. I think Friday there's a What's Good meetup. You'd have to check on Andrea or Steimer or Brit's stuff about that. I'm still trying to figure out when I want to play Pokemon Go with people and walk around the city. So there's a whole bunch of stuff happening and secret things. Time to squat up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Sarah needs help. Sarah writes in and says, hey, Greg. Like you, I'm a Pokemon trainer. Trying to be The best there ever was, and catch them all. I'm level 38 in Pokemon Go and would like to spend, or I'd like to find some KF best friends to swap gifts with for the XP bonus and reach that level cap. My friend code is 357773467142. If you want to hit me up on Twitter to coordinate lucky eggs, you can catch me at Dutchie, D-U-T-C-H-I-E, underscore 86. Cheers, Sarah. So, if you want to play some Pokemon Go with Dutchie, underscore 86, hit her up via that friend code I'm not repeating. Yeah. That's on YouTube.
I have a bonus squad up for today. Yesterday, Gia and I went to one of my favorite restaurants in the world.
Outback Steakhouse.
Nick's in Pacifica. Crab sandwich out of this goddamn world.
Really?
Oh, my Lord. It's fantastic. Been going there forever. It's like old family place. Like I would go, my mom would take us when we were like little kids. Great place.
Is it by the barbecue? That barbecue caboose?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Real close to that, actually. Mm-hmm. It's on the beach.
I know Pacifica.
Yeah, it's right next to that. Have you been
there
to that barbecue place?
There. No.
Yeah, there's no seats. We're about to go there.
I've been to the Taco Bell. I've been to the nice little coffee shop across from the Taco Bell, across the giant field that Jen tried to walk through. It was like, not a chance in hell. Ticks. We went on this path and went over there.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Taco Bell since it's got all fixed up?
I have. Nice. That's when the tick stuff happened.
Oh, yeah.
So this place is really close to the Taco Bell, just on the other side of that.
How close is it to the ticks?
I mean, it's directly next to
the
ticks.
I got to walk through the fucking ticks. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, just don't go to the Taco Bell, and then you don't need to walk.
Okay, good point. Good point.
Anyways, this place is fantastic. I've been going there my entire life, and Gia and I were there yesterday and ran into a best friend who lost his goddamn mind seeing us. Like, I don't think I've ever seen someone react so viscerally, and I was just like, dude, this is awesome. And he's like, I've been working here for 10 years. Like, yeah, and he doesn't work there anymore, but he worked there 10 years. He's like, I can't believe I'm seeing you guys here. This is crazy. And he was super nice and hooked us up. Never thought in my life I'd get Nick's hooked up for us, and that was fantastic.
Nice.
So thank you for that. But I wanted to give him a shout out. His name's Kevin Lee. He doesn't have any social media, but he was like, yeah, I don't do the social stuff. He's like, but what I do.
Do-do.
Is PSN. And I was like, bro.
Oh, okay. It?
It's Lil Bruce Banner 3.
That's a good name.
So L-I-L, Bruce Banner 3. He plays Red Dead Redemption 2 online, a little Black Ops, Blackout, and just normal Black Ops, and Rocket League. So if you want to play with him, his PSN name is Lil Bruce Banner 3. Tell him that Tim Getty sent you.
Did you talk to him about what like role he's going to choose now in Red Dead Online since they're adding all this stuff?
No.
Is he going to be like a fur trader?
He looked like a fur trader. I'll tell you that. No joke. He looked exactly like James Burke. He was the most Bay Area looking kid I think I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Yeah. This won't go well in terms of my perception of James Burke, but I was watching that Lorena Bobbitt special, right? Have you seen this thing on Amazon? It's like multi-part documentary about Lorena Bobbitt. You know who she is? Mm-mm. Then this will make even less sense to you, but they're doing modern day interviews, like contemporary interviews with John Wayne Bobbitt. And I was like, why does this guy seem from? I was like, James Burke. He reminds me a lot of James Burke. And as you see this, it will not, that doesn't play. I like James a lot. It was just in the interviews where you're like, maybe I had a wrong idea. And then you go through that, all the other, like, this guy sucks. No, it wasn't. I don't think James sucks. Just the mannerisms of John Wayne Bobbitt today.
Got it.
You know what I mean? And the way he talks and gets interviewed. I digress. Yeah, it's time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You know what it is. That Rouge Teeth podcast services. Mm-hmm. Man, I'll tell you what. Just not having that 100% in the tank kills you.
Yeah?
Yeah. The nanobiologist writes in, Rooster Teeth did not acquire Machinima content. Both were under Otter Media, a division of AT&T, and all content was just migrated over after the channel got disabled. That's breaking news. There's a couple, and I'll say them, but I hold the rights to do these tomorrow as well. The breaking news from Boris and Double Zero, Minecraft 4K official texture pack/patch has been canceled. This is being reported on by Kotaku. I'll just get all the breaking news out of the way. Nanobiologist says that Quantic Dream is interested in becoming a boutique publisher. That's, I don't feel, breaking news. Nanobiologist also says, this is officially breaking news from Greg Miller, Cross Save for Destiny launches on August 21st. So there you go. For more You're Wrongs, though, let's jump back in here. No, don't care about that. No. Nanobiologist says that as of 2014, Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 are fully uncensored in Australia. In the Australian censored version, there was much less blood spray and the bodies despawned almost immediately. Okay, but so that's now, but back in the day, it wasn't like that, correct? Too late. You wronged yourself. I don't understand.
Got him.
These are just questions about what we're saying. Ilgrill Chill says the PAX line Twitter is at PAX underscore lines. And there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Every weekday. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Let's talk about your host for the week. And actually, it becomes a pop quiz for one, Tim Geddes.
What the fuck does that mean?
Tuesday is listed as Greg and Andrea.
Okay.
But Greg has to go see his cancer doctor for his annual checkup. Mm. And that's going to bleed into the normal Kind of Funny Games daily time.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see it, you have two options, Tim.
Yes.
You host with Andrea tomorrow.
Okay.
And Andrea can lead. I assume. Yeah. I'll reach out to her. Awesome. But then you got Harry Potter right afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I know you have to do prep work for too. And I know you won't do it today. Well, or.
That's all true.
We could flip Harry Potter and Kind of Funny Games daily. Mm-hmm. I'd have to reach out to Andrea and say, hey, can you actually get here at way later? And it'll also be a moving target because you guys are going to wax on and on and on about fucking Ron Weasley.
It's good. It's a good movie.
That's pretty much the options. I could throw Barrett on there with Andrea too.
Let's talk later. We'll figure it out.
Jesus, that was worthless. You're bad at the pop quiz. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Andrea and Barrett. Friday, it's Fran and Andrea. Gamescast this week is Wednesday, August 14th at 2 p.m. You can watch live, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It's going to be me, Tim, Fran, and Andrea. If you're like, wait a second, why are the guys going? Why is nobody on? Why are Tim and Greg not on Thursday and Friday? It's because we are going to the Canadian National Exhibition in Toronto this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. You can come hang out with us up in Toronto. CNE, two panels a day, Drink Box, Ubisoft, and Nathan from Cappy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Different things to play. I figure we'll finish it off and we're going to come off. We're going to kill these panels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then walk off and go get a beer. You know
Hell
what I
yeah,
mean?
Dude.
You down?
Brewskis.
I want to eat the... They got crazy fried food there too.
I'm down for all of that.
All this information, of course, is up on kindoffunny.com/events. You can go there and do it. What do you got, Kev? What's wrong?
It just sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You see SummerSlam happen in Toronto last night?
Bastards.
So close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerks. You see Xavier's hair?
No.
Oh, you gotta go to his Twitter, actually. You should go to Xavier Woods PhD as well and watch the video of his hair because it's fantastic. Actually, Kevin, you want to just pull it up?
Yeah,
we can end the show with that.
I'm working on it.
Don't look at it. Stop looking.
I'm stopping. Right?
I'm gonna throw this into your face if you don't stop looking.
Don't do that.
Do it.
Do you watch Handmaid's Tale?
Edge? No, I don't.
Okay.
Edge returned just as a fun thing, but like his
the
music
rated
popping,
R superstar.
Rated R superstar. Pretty hype. And then Alexa Bliss came out in a Buzz Lightyear outfit.
Here we go. Throw this up.
Oh my God.
Look at Austin Creed. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily.
I did see this. I didn't know it was him.
We love Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed. Subscribe to Up Up Down Down. I think they're close to 2 million subs. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
I love him.